Yes, sir. Na, 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 na. Sivar Paramahamsa Pri Bhadrachara Stotra Sutta Sri Sumaris Divine Grace Sri Vaicharanaradam Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Yaskambi Biti Founder Acharya Divine Grace Sri Prabhupada Ki Anacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Samavayata Bhakta Vrinda Ki Harinama Sankirtana Ki Antaraj Sri Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande All glories to be assembled over this. All glories to be assembled over this. All glories to be assembled over this. All glories. All glories to Sri Guru to Sri Gauranga. All glories. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripat Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Yat Kripat Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Sri Prabhupada ki
jai.
So it is a privilege and an honor and my great pleasure to be here once again visiting after a couple of years, I guess, because I think you've been here for 2 years in this place.
Yeah.
I was here when you were at the previous place, the other place, yeah, which was a big open space. This is a little more homey. It's very nice, nice setup. I'd like to congratulate the devotees. Very wonderful to see many devotees here also. This is a, I guess, in French they say témoignage, testimony. That Krishna consciousness works. We are, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by the mercy of Sri Sri Gornitai, new centers, new preaching centers, new devotees are being made all over the world. And as I was coming today, actually, in the vehicle, the topic was, today's topic was briefly introduced. I thought that was very, very good idea on the part of the devotees here to be selecting or choosing some topic of particular interest. Most of our devotees nowadays all over the world are actually not living in our temples. It's a big shift to how things were in the beginning of our movement. In the beginning, actually, if the mentality the mentality was such that if you're not living in the temple, you're in Maya. You know. And then gradually some maturity, you know, maturing process took place. And now we find majority of our devotees are naturally living outside the temple, which is quite natural. In the Vedic system, the traditional educational system of Gurukul gives an opportunity for a certain number of individuals, limited number actually, because Gurukul traditionally is for those who are primarily inclined or interested towards Brahminical activities. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are generally trained up in Gurukul system. We, in the Western countries especially, when Srila Prabhupada introduced the Hare Krishna movement way back in 1966, the closest thing to Gurukul or Gurukul training was our temples, and it was very good, and still is actually. if one has an opportunity to stay in our temples at least for some time, because most of us did not get that opportunity of early training in life, you see. So the question or the topic was in relation to, yes, because most of us are living outside of temples or having a job, having family, having various social responsibilities, how to balance, that comes up very often, how to balance the spiritual side of our lives and then the material obligations. And then very important question, very important matter to actually understand and to deal with if one is going to continue making a spiritual progress. And of course, that is one of the basic understandings that we get very early in Krishna consciousness, that our primary objective in life, in the uniform of life, is to somehow make advancement in spiritual life and try very hard to finish our business in this material world within one lifetime. Generally, that was not so was not possible. However, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the process he has introduced, it is possible. I'd like to address this topic on two levels, and then till what time we have before we break the class?
About 1 o'clock.
About 1 o'clock. Okay.
We can take questions.
Yes. We'll take questions for?
For 10 minutes.
For about 10 minutes. Okay. I might end a little earlier to give a little more time for questions. Let's see how it goes. Two levels I'd like to address regarding the topic, right? How to fulfill both obligations. Actually, we have a dual responsibility because we are actually of a dual nature. We have this body, but we're not the body, we're the spirit soul, isn't it? So we have both of these elements, well, or dimensions. The material dimension of this body, gross body, subtle body, and the spiritual dimension of the spirit soul, and also the social dimension. Generally in Ayurveda we speak of a body, mind, and spirit, isn't it? Body, mind, and spirit. It's very interesting, our acharyas, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they speak about, of course, body, mind, but also the social dimension, and then, of course, spirit. Mm. So, it is, I would say, not possible to deal with the social dimension without speaking a little bit about the concept of anasvama. Now before I do that, because that will be the second aspect or the second level that I will try to address this topic. Nowadays all over the world, especially in the Western countries, you know, we know very little about varnasrama system. So we are, you know, caught up in modern way of life, which is driven primarily by unending advancement in technology, where we are living very sophisticated. I mean, compared to many of the Eastern countries, very high standard of life, where we are, especially North America, where we are here now, the whole philosophy of equality and very highly competitive, a very competitive world, where very often both the husband and the wife have to work, and there's all kinds of ideologies which are promoted, on which the whole social structure that we have today have been built upon, and that we can't escape from that, practically speaking. We're caught up in the present modern system, which is heavily, as we all know, accented on the what we call economic development, material development. And the main aim of life and the main ideology is that the more we can have a good material situation, we'll be happy, isn't it? And the whole Western world is built around that concept. And that, of course, brings all kinds of situations, especially for those who are in contact, for example, with Krishna consciousness, or anyone, I suppose, who has some spiritual basic understanding of life. So I'd like to just briefly deal with that scenario, the scenario that we all find ourselves in right now. And then I'd like to shift afterwards to the other scenario in terms of the Varnashram aspect. Now this is going to be a little difficult because I mean the topic of Varnashram is a huge topic, very big topic. And later on this afternoon, actually when we go back to Toronto, I've been asked to give the class there, so I'll be spending a little more time on that. On the topic of Varnashram. In the present scenario that we have, you know, how to balance our spiritual life and then our material obligations. Well, it's definitely a big challenge. And Srila Prabhupada always highly recommended that, especially those who are householders, that they have actually deities in their home. There's something very important for householders. That householders have at least an altar, if possible deities, especially if one is initiated. Even if one is not initiated, one can have an altar and have some, you know, what is called Guru Goranga altar. That's how, when I joined actually, when I first visited temple, Hare Krishna temple, that was in Ottawa, 1973, and they had a Guru Goranga altar. The altar was a cardboard box, actually. It's come a long way. And they graduated to the kitchen table, you know, from the cardboard box, which had a cloth on it, the kitchen table came in. And then after some time, somebody actually built an actual, you know, wooden altar. Vyasa-san, same thing like that. So, in the early days, pretty well the same scenario was there, although because most of the devotees were living in the temples, this problem was maybe a little bit less because we were fully absorbed in preaching and the Sankirtan movement like that. But as devotees was married and moved out of the temples, then, you know, so Srila Prabhupada very strongly recommends that, especially those who are working, which means that, you know, majority of our householders, at least the husband, if not the wife as well, one should plan out, very important to plan out our day, to have a schedule. We were touching on that this morning at the Toronto Temple. It's not only devotees living in temples who have to be regulated or who have to have a schedule. Householders, anyone who's practicing spiritual life, has to make a schedule. You know, how I'm going to divide my time. Of course, it may not always be possible to completely follow that schedule because so many unexpected things happen, especially when we're dealing with the outside world. But some basic schedule that before I go out, you know, before I go to my job, before I leave my home, I should put in as much time as possible, you know, chanting the holy name, hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, even if it's only a short time. Just like in Indonesia, we have some, you know, we started quite some years back some, what is called, youth hostel. So we have children of our families. They are pursuing regular, normal education, but at the same time, they want to have association, so we've arranged that they stay, in one place they stay, we made special facilities, close to our temple, or actually part of the temple complex, and they go to school during the day, to college, but they have a morning program. It's a compact, you know, compressed. So both in the morning and also in the evening, some spiritual activities are there. Srila Prabhupada, he called that the, what is it, the sandwich, you know, the program, where we start the day on the right foot by some spiritual activities, and we end the day as well. That's, of course, is like an obvious thing that we should all be doing. Now, once we are away from the home, because Prabhupada explained that actually when we become a devotee, it's like declaring war on Maya, because Maya is all-pervading. So we're having to face this material world, material energy, especially in the Western countries, where the direction is totally opposite to where we want to go, isn't it? We want to have spiritual association. We want to be reminded of Krishna. But everywhere we go, it's the opposite. You know, the billboards are reminding us not at all of Krishna. Rather, you know, enjoy your senses in so many different ways. So, this is very important to prepare ourselves so that during the day, wherever we may be, our consciousness is going to be more alert, you see. And if there is possibility before we go back home, depending on the job that we have, then we should try to find some time to at least, you know, maybe read or something, or meditate sometimes, you know, like during lunch break or something like that. And of course, we cannot avoid associating with non-devotees, isn't it? I mean, it is impossible, but we should, this morning, for example, we were reading one verse which was talking about, you know, what to do about our mind, you know, this problem for all of us in the material world, how to control the mind. And then we were reminded about a very important verse, very important instruction given by Lord Chaitanya, asat sanga tyaga e vaishnava char stri sangi eka sadhu krishna abhakta. Asat sanga. Now this is a little bit difficult because, you know, we're surrounded by asat. Asat means what is temporary. We are interested in sat, what is eternal. Krishna consciousness is an eternal process. Bhakti, devotional service, is our eternal. Krishna bhakti nitya siddha. It is the eternal, natural perfection or quality of the living entity, spirit, soul. So how to follow, especially in the modern world, you know, asat sangha tyag. Might as well stay home, right? As soon as we step out of the house, we're all surrounded by asat sangha. So the idea is that in our mind, we have to practice on the level of consciousness. This phrase coined by Srila Prabhupada is very important, I mean, very appropriate as well. Krishna consciousness. Even we're not, like now we're all fortunate, we're sitting here in the temple, you know, in front of the deities, surrounded by devotees, and it's like a Krishna conscious, natural atmosphere. But when we go out, you see, of our homes, of our temples, we're surrounded by asat association. So if our consciousness is not proper, we're going to be more easily affected by that. So it's like billboards, for example, you can't avoid, but at the same time, you can, in the sense that, well, okay, you just don't, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, when the senses linger on the objects of the senses, then we develop some attraction for that, you see. So we should be careful with our eyes, you know. Especially, I mean, in North America, it's like, whenever I come back from the East, it's like a continuous, you know, what is it, culture shock. Because, of course not in the Western, in the Eastern countries, that's also being introduced, because people in the East still have the notion that what is in the West is what we should follow. Some crazy notion. what America is doing must be the best because they're the most, of course now things are changing a little bit. So training our consciousness, very important, and being very cautious in how we associate, how we deal with fellow workers or whoever it may be. I mean, there are many situations, obviously we cannot cover, you know, very often you have like social responsibilities. You have to go to a party, or you have to, you know, you have to socialize. Well, you know, one has to be cautious, you know, to what extent you can socialize. I mean, you can socialize in the sense of, you know, accepting a soft drink, but, you know, accepting some liquor is a no-no. And then, in some ways, or in many ways, devotees should avoid too much of socializing. I mean, we should, socializing, when I say socializing, I mean, you know, going to gatherings which are not very Krishna conscious, and that's, I mean, sometimes if we're working for some company or depending on, we have to attend some of these functions. I mean, before I became a devotee, I was mentioning that the other day, during the Those Were the Days, my friend class that Maharaj introduced in the Toronto Temple, I was mentioning that before, when I joined, I joined actually at the Ottawa Temple at the very beginning of 74, and I couldn't shave up right away. And normally when you join, you shave up. That's like, you know, you shaved up means you join. You know. I joined, but I didn't shave up right away because I had promised to my best friend that I would attend his wedding. I didn't want to break the promise. So here I was, you know, a devotee, you know, and his wedding was like 3 months down the line, you know, so I had to keep my hair, you know, for 3 months. And it was a big austerity because everybody else in the temple, and I felt, you know, I wasn't really surrendered until I shaved up. And of course, it was really odd going to a wedding, you know, as a devotee. I wasn't shaved up, but still, you know, consciously, I knew that I shouldn't be there, but I had made the promise, and, you know, all kinds of things are there in weddings, in terms of liquor and non-veg food and whatnot, so I had to sit at the table and all these things, but I, you know, I was able to come back to the temple, and, I mean, the consciousness was proper, and I had stayed sufficiently in the temple, and I knew enough about the philosophy. So it means that sometimes we have to, we find ourselves in these kind of situations, and that's why it's so important. If our consciousness is right, proper, then we'll know how to handle situations. Prabhupada used to nicely explain, we don't take association from non-devotees. Rather, we try to give them Krishna-conscious association, you see, by the knowledge of Krishna-consciousness that we have. Okay, so that's, I mean, there's many more things that could be said, but maybe during question times or some other time. That's one level. The other level, or the other aspect, is in regards to Varnashram. Now, we have, as devotees, and as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a duty and responsibility to help Srila Prabhupada bring about some very major and important changes in society which will make for a better Krishna conscious situation. In other words, Srila Prabhupada wanted that we introduce Varnashram. Again, this is a very big topic. I'll just try to choose a few small things that address possibly you know, the main topic at hand today. Because a lot has to do with association, you know. By Varnashram, the Varnashram mission, this is part of the Lord Chaitanya's larger mission of the Sankirtan movement. The Varnashram mission primarily aims, now I'll go directly to the point here that might be a little bit disturbing or shocking for some of you, I hope not too much. Anyways, you're okay. Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring home one point. amongst many, that the Vedic culture is primarily an agrarian-based culture. Vedic culture, for those who are not familiar with agrarian, the word agrarian, means that the Vedic culture primarily is made up, majority of people are living in villages, are cultivating the land, growing their own food, and looking after cows. And the main emphasis is living in a community, developing together Krishna consciousness. This is called Daivi Varnasram. We, all of us, everyone, every single person sitting in this room, because you're all devotees, you wouldn't be here otherwise, and you're all connected in different ways, you know, with this movement started by Srila Prabhupada, all of us have an obligation to understand what Srila Prabhupada wanted in regards to bringing about what he termed as a complete overhaul in society. Complete overhaul in society. Right now, you'll be surprised. For example, in North America right now, I'm sure all of you know, 95%+ of the population are living in towns and cities. In India, when I first went to India, 76, at that time, probably around 80% of the population were still of India were still in the villages. In most eastern countries, it's pretty well like that. Cambodia, it's even higher. When I was in India just about a month back, some report was there whereby within the next 10 years, it is expected that the population of India, 50% of that population will be living in cities. Now, this is a very disturbing trend, and it is directly connected with Varnasram, and directly connected with the mission of this movement, you know, the Hare Krishna movement. When we go away from the traditional standard lifestyle, which is based on land and cows, which is meant for all of us. I hear many people saying, "Well, hey, I'm not a farmer, and I don't have any farming background, and you know, how is this possible?" The fact remains that the majority of people in society anywhere, if this simplified lifestyle is adopted, then the problems of balancing our material and spiritual duties will be largely resolved. That's the point. In other words, the present scenario that we have in North America especially, and in other so-called developing countries towards trying to come to that standard that is here in North America, is a very difficult scenario, which we can at best just try to adjust, you know. Or as Prabhupada would say, referring to this human life that we have, make the best use of a bad bargain. We have a bad bargain. North American modern way of life is a bad bargain. You see, it is an artificial lifestyle. It is artificial. it is false and misleading, and opens the doors to all kinds of anomalies, social problems, economic, you name it, political problems, economic problems, educational problems, whatever is there in society because of this artificial, unsustainable lifestyle that we have created, and we're all caught up in it, it's actually not meant to last. We should understand this as well. And that is one of the reasons, not the main reason, but one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada wanted that we work towards understanding about Varnasram, you see, the Varnasram mission, as possible here in North America. Actually, I'm meeting with some of our devotees in Montreal. A few devotees are very much interested in, you know, how to move in that direction. And one devotee just 2 days ago sent me, I was telling him, you know, you should do some research and try to find out, you know, if there's anything on record or documentaries regarding how people were doing things before. And so he sent me a couple of references where, you know, I was surprised. This is, I think, Radio Canada, not Radio Canada, some Television Canada something. They do documentaries. And they found one elderly lady in her 80s with a spinning wheel. You know, she's still spinning her own cloth from what is it? Wool, eh? Or cotton, yeah. And the whole interview was being conducted as as she was doing her work, you know, I mean, very, as she'd been doing it, she was explaining since she was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. You know. And she was explaining how, yeah, in our days, I mean, we used to make my parents, and then I learned the trade also, to make all of our cloth, the socks, nice socks, and, you know, nowadays, of course, rare are such persons. I mean, you can't find it. But I was very surprised to see how, you know, because I, being in India for many years, I thought only, you know, Gandhi was behind the spinning wheel, you know. But here in Canada, it's like even here in North America, where we have such a harsh climate, and where one thinks that, well, it's not at all possible. What people were living in a, you know, very much more simplified lifestyle, you know, previously. In other words, Varnashram properly stated that as well, that this simplified lifestyle, right? We've all heard the expression, simple living and high thinking. Simple living is actually referring to Varnashram. And high thinking is actually referring to Krishna consciousness. The development of bhakti, devotional service, that is high thinking, naturally. And the more we simplify our lives, that's the point. The more we simplify our lives, it will be more conducive to this high thinking. Otherwise, the opposite is there. The more complicated our lives are, like in North America, the more difficult it is to practice spiritual life, you see. Especially, I mean, we have devotees, and this is like, practically speaking, unacceptable. But we accept it because we don't have a choice, practically speaking. Some of our devotees working like 10 hours or 12 hours a day. I mean, I have personal experience of meeting and speaking with such devotees. And I won't mention, I mean, probably happening in most countries. And this is happening not only to the husband, but the husband and wife, both working 10 to 12 hours. How can one become Krishna conscious in that kind of scenario? It's extremely difficult. You know, I mean, that's besides going to and back to work, you know. So, in other words, this kind of lifestyle is not congenial. Of course, we have to make the best of it until we... So the point is this, you see. These are the two aspects. We have a bad bargain right now. We have to somehow try to adjust. My point is that, and Srila Prabhupada's point, we shouldn't be content or satisfied or think that this is the only, what is it, option. We should look at this other option, which is actually the real option, which is actually the option which will give us hope, which will give us opportunity to actually resolve the kind of very difficult situation in which all of us find ourselves in. I mean, Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports of the Bhagavatam, he writes, you know, one should not work more than 8 hours a day. I mean, he specifies. You see. So, how to balance spiritual life, you know, spiritual obligations and material obligations? Well, I think we have to look at these two scenarios, and we have a responsibility, as I mentioned earlier, to do two things. One is, okay, do the best that we can following Prabhupada's various, you know, instructions, like having altars in our home, like we mentioned earlier. And also, very important, and I would say even more important, is to look at this other option that Prabhupada is talking about. You know, how to bring about these changes, the whole social dimension in society. And we have it's like, practically speaking, Mission Impossible kind of scenario, you know, because the whole, you know, all the governments in the world, all the leaders in the world, all the societies are just not going in that direction. So we have unless we are very strong in our Krishna consciousness, unless we read nicely and understand Srila Prabhupada's books and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we will conclude that what Prabhupada is speaking about, I mean, it just ain't practical. You know, it's not possible, it's not practical, it's not for us, maybe for somebody else or whatever. I mean, so what we need to know, and I'll end on this note here and open it up for a few questions, is that, yeah, one second, is that we, we should make an effort to seriously understand Srila Prabhupada's instructions regarding varnasrama, and we should keep these two things in mind. And the way to come out of this dilemma is to actually discuss it more. Just like we have established in India, it's the first country that has done this. We've established this year, just in the month of April, a ministry, ISKCON, you know, the leadership, has actually established, after, you know, working on it for 2 years, a ministry of varnasrama. And I really, later on this afternoon, actually I'm meeting with some of our leaders here in Canada, and anyone who's involved in leadership, I strongly recommend, strongly suggest that if not immediately a ministry here in Canada, we should work towards that, to have at least some kind of committee that can be done on a local level as well. If anyone is interested, actually there's a lot of material on Manasram that can be transferred in, you know, that I have on CD, not CD actually, but we do have some CDs actually on Varnashram. But if anyone is interested in knowing more about it, I'll leave a visiting card that has some of our websites and whatnot. Or later on we can talk about it as well. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I saw a hand up. Yeah, go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
Even before you started your class, I thought about the question about varnashrama.
Very good.
You started, so probably it's a time class. So in terms of modern civilization, that it's developed so many mystical powers in the form of technology and internet and everything.
Yes.
Inevitably it's coming to accept the principles of life and varnashrama dharma. Is it possible to reinstall varnashrama and to be implemented in the same way as it was in Vedic times, or we should consider here modern mentality, modern situation, environment, economic technology, and so on and so forth?
Did everyone hear the question? Pretty well, not so. Okay. Well, I would say that the more we understand the basic concepts and principles behind varnasram, then this question will not come up so much. Obviously, it's going to be hard to find personalities like Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, you know, kings of that caliber, and brahmanas who can, you know, light fire by chanting mantras. I haven't met one in ISKCON yet. You know. I don't think there are any. So we may not have the same kind of situation, but the basic principles and concepts, which are intimately connected with protection of cows, producing your own foods, being self-sufficient, being close to the land, these things are possible, not only possible, but very much desirable. And we should be working towards implementing Varnashram based on these basic principles. Srila Prabhupada gave us a tool. The tool he mentioned is Varnashram colleges. He gave us a method by which we can gradually begin to understand what is Varnashram, how it can be implemented, and how we need to train ourselves. You know, all the different members need to gradually be trained. So this is something interesting that's just beginning to happen as well. Just like from January to March this year, we had our first Varnashram College in South India. And in the month of February, when I went to Mayapur for some meetings and some seminar on Varnashram, I came to know, I was very happy, that the Mayapur administration have actually accepted a proposal that in Mayapur they will be establishing the Mayapur Varnashram College. And the local GBCs and the administration of Mayapur have given 19 acres of land for that purpose, which is very good, very positive. So there are some positive things happening, some developments, and this should be encouraging actually for the devotees. It is very much possible, and it, you know, because the present scenario, present situation, global situation, we all know it's not very nice, to say the least. And Srila Prabhupada, I mean, we should know. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that the present modern society, the way it is established, the way, I mean, Prabhupada mentioned the car industry is going to last only 50 years. He mentioned that about 50 years ago. Think about that. And he also mentioned that the cities, our cities are going to be destroyed. Prabhupada had some, you know, he wasn't a, what do you call it, doomsdayer, you know, but he did mention that today's civilization is doomed. He did use the word doomed. It is doomed because we're off track. Modern civilization is based on principles of adharma, and principles of adharma can only go for a certain period of time. You see, so we should wake up. We should wake up. The Krishna consciousness, I mean, you know, Jeev Janko, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own words, wake up, wake up, spirit soul. We should wake up to the reality that not only we have, this is also very important, not only we have responsibility to develop our bhakti, you see, devotional service, we also have simultaneously a responsibility to see how Krishna's energy is being misused in this world. How various individuals are misusing their powers as well to mislead people, to keep people in ignorance. This is part of our duties and responsibilities. And the more we start learning about, thinking about, meditating on Varnashram and the principles behind it, then we begin to understand. We begin to understand how, you know, the whole Varnashram dimension brings us into areas which up until now our ISKCON society has been very less active in. These are areas of leadership, you see. Because Varnashram is meant to be primarily established by Kshatriyas. Kshatriya means leadership. And then we get into the whole area of agriculture, you see. We all know how demoniac things have become in terms of how we're producing our food, you know, with genetically modified food, and you know, and how they're putting all kinds of injections in the cows for producing more milk, and all of these things. We are being poisoned, literally poisoned, by the food industry, and we are offering poison polluted food to our deities every day, because we're not growing our own food. And when we start going into these areas, we'll understand more and more, hey, what are we doing? And if we're not doing anything, we become implicated in what is happening. By becoming implicated, it means we're going to be getting reactions, negative reactions. We're already getting, actually. We'll get more. So we have a dual responsibility. We are, as we mentioned in the beginning of the presentation, you know, we are dual. We have a dual nature, spiritual nature and material nature. So So we have a dual responsibility. Our responsibility is not only to the spirit soul. Our responsibility is to this body and to the social body as well. You see. So this is very important to keep in mind. So in one way, yeah, it will not be exactly like we read, you know, where the Gurukul boys are walking around in, with bark trees, you know, I mean, bark as their clothes. But the principles actually are unchanging. Because in the same way that bhakti, we say the science of bhakti, devotional service is a science that doesn't change. And also varnasrama dharma is a science that doesn't change, that is not meant to be changed. We have changed it. Modern society, or since the days of the Industrial Revolution, we have changed what should not have been changed. And it's a very dark situation, a very bleak situation. So Krishna consciousness means actually understanding the dharma. Dharma is also on two levels. Bhagavad dharma, spirit level, spiritual soul, bhakti, and varnasrama dharma. And we need to understand that these are both equally, they go hand in hand, and they're both very scientific, and they're both very, very deep in terms of, you know, what it means. Yeah. Somebody has a hand up. Oh, he's too young to ask a question. Very attentive audience. Thank you very much. So, there's Tulsi Puja at what time, Prabhu?
It's at the starting right down the
branch. Right now. Okay, if there's no more questions. Going. Hare Krishna.
Too far to jump.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful instructive lecture or class. We wish and pray that you can keep coming and giving us your instructions and association. Thank you so much.
So we'll start with Tulsi Aarti, but we just have a few announcements before Tulsi Aarti. So if you can please have your kind attention. I want to just say that this week is again an auspicious.